Good morning. Welcome to worship. If there's an usher in the house, we would love to get these candles lit because our new custodian on staff, Bernie, researched this week why they are not well lit on Sunday mornings. Haven't they kind of looked like they're COVID candles just barely getting by? She figured it out and she fixed it. We have some abundant candles today. So we're going to get them lit so we can enjoy that, all right? So thanks to Bernie. And thank you to Lauren on oboe this morning for sharing her gifts. Today during worship, we get to celebrate new members, and some of them are here. Figuring out how to welcome new members in worship when we are two campuses and then also online has been kind of a fun adventure. So no matter what service people are at today, they can't miss it. It's happening, and we get to see all of their faces thanks to a pre-recorded slideshow. And we have a couple here today. Loretta, happy new member Sunday. Loretta is coming to us as a new member. And Regina, welcome. You might also know Tom and Peg Houle, who usually sit right up front. They're new, but they already have a pew. So they're in, but they're joining us online today. And then during the litany, later in worship, after the sermon, we'll see the faces and names of people from the Minneapolis campus, too. So a way to say hello to those who aren't here and welcome is one big Zoom call at 11 today. And I'll have it on my iPad at 11 o'clock if you're still around in the courtyard after worship. You can wave and say hello to folks who are joining us across time and space. How does that look, right? Not bad. Thank you, Mark. All right. We are ready to worship. We'll start with song. I invite you to rise as you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. the church of God and for the unity of all. Let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Let us pray together. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. In the midst of violence, be a tower of safety for all who cry out to you. Strengthen our faith in your mercy, that we may sing your praise from generation to generation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Some of you know that this summer we're hearing stories that aren't normally in the lectionary, the list of stories we hear and worship and preachers preach on in mainline Protestant churches. And so if you were one of the preachers scheduled for a Sunday at Minneapolis or at Minnetonka, you had to agree on the text for that day. And Pastor Chris and I agreed on the story of Rahab, in part because we couldn't remember the whole story of Rahab. We know she's really important. We know that she has a lot of speaking lines in the Bible for a woman. And we know that she's listed as part of Jesus' family tree, as part of where he comes from. In the patriarchy at the beginning of Matthew, that long list that traces Jesus back to Abraham, there are five women listed. And of those five women, we knew the least about Rahab. So this was a selfish pick. Back then, in May, when we were picking these texts, we didn't know what the context for preaching them would look like. But this week, spending time with Rahab has me thinking a lot about women in Afghanistan. And so if you could hold them in your mind and in your heart while we hear Rahab's story this morning. This is a tale about the perils of having to pick sides. It's a story about when your only power is power by association, power by a connection to powerful people. It's a story about depending on others to keep their promises. And so I ask you to hear the story of Rahab with open hearts, maybe for the first time ever. Maybe you remember her name but can't remember exactly where in Scripture she is. And we can make a new friend who seems familiar. Maybe we'll find ourselves in her story. And maybe we will come at the news of this world and the proximity of people differently this week for having known her. So let's hear the story of Rahab. Joshua sent two men secretly as spies, saying, "Go and scope out the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they spent the night there. The king of Jericho heard about this. He heard them say, "Some Israelites have come here today to search out the land." So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come to you, the ones who entered your house, for they have come only to search out the whole land." But the woman took the two men and hid them. Then she said to the king, "True, these men came to me, but I didn't know where they came from. And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know, but I think they started out in that direction. If you hurry, you can catch up to them." She had, however, brought the spies up to the roof, which served as her overstocked supply closet. She hid them with the stalks of flax she'd laid out on the roof. And the king believed Rahab, and his men pursued them on the way to the Jordan, and the gate to the city was closed behind them. When night came and it was dark, Rahab went up to the roof and said to the men, "I know the Lord has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen on all of us here in Jericho, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear of you. We have heard the story about how you all came to be here. Your God is the one who dried up the water of the Red Sea to lead you out of Egypt. And since then, your people have destroyed two kings of the Amorites. When we hear these tales about you, our hearts melt, and there's no courage left in any of us because of you. I know your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below." "Now then," she said, "since I have dealt kindly with you and helped you, swear to me by the name of your God, then in exchange you will deal kindly with me and my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you will spare my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver us from our death." The men said to her, "Our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when God gives us the land." Then she led them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the outer side of the city wall, and she resided within the wall itself. She said to them, "Go toward the hill country so the men won't find you. Hide yourself there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and then afterwards you can go your own way." The men said to her, "Don't forget to tie the crimson cord in your window. If you forget to do this or you don't gather all of your family in time, we cannot be responsible for the destruction caused to your home and your family." She said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away and they departed. And then she tied the crimson cord in the window. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. On Wednesday mornings, I meet with some of you for Dwelling in the Word. We're on Zoom together, and we take whatever the scripture story is for the upcoming Sunday, and we read it 3 times. Or sometimes, if it's really long, like this story, we break it into 3 chunks. We notice the phrases that stand out to us, the stuff that's always bothered us or never makes sense, the words that have us wondering, the background that seems to be missing. And we talk about it. not for the sake of arriving at any answers, but just for the sake of remembering that it's alive and we notice something new every time. This week, I got to do Dwelling in the Word with this story. We also have a senior in high school from this campus who has not confirmed his faith yet and has a lot of questions, wants to have a lot of conversations that a nerdy pastor wants to have, but maybe his peers don't. And so he and I are doing speed confirmation this summer on Zoom. We're walking through all of those baptismal promises that we make about living together in God's faith, with God's faithful people, giving them the scriptures, teaching them the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments, nurturing them in faith and prayer, all those things that we say when someone is baptized. We're picking apart all of those phrases, and he dumps a bunch of his questions as it relates to those questions and his life and his faith and his skepticism about the world. And so this week he had a lot of questions about all the war in Scripture. All of the times it says that God gave a people over into somebody else's hands. He wanted to hold in tension how Scripture is written by human beings who have opinions and biases, and it's also meant to be taken very seriously as the Word of God. And so we wondered what it means when someone like Rahab says, I know you're God's chosen people because you keep destroying everyone else. We wrestled with that for a little while. What does that confession mean? What does the destruction of people and lands have to do with faithfulness? Is that how God desires to be talked about, or is that how human beings make sense of the world we live in? We're going to hear this story again in three parts, and I invite you to wonder with me along the way. Joshua sent two men secretly as spies and said, go out and scope out the land. I especially want to know about Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they spent the night there. The king of Jericho heard all about this, that some Israelites had come to scope out the land. And so the king sent word to Rahab saying, bring the men out who have come to you, the ones who were in your house. I know they were there, for they've come to spy on our land. But the woman took the two men and hid them. And then she said, true, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they came from. And when the gate closed at dark, they went out. You could probably catch them if you leave now. She had, however, brought the spies up to the roof. She hid them up there. But the king believed Rahab, and his men pursued them on the way to the Jordan, and the gate was shut behind them. Imagine for a moment Rahab's home. Later in the story, we hear a little bit more about the proximity of her home. It is built into the walls of Jericho, right on the edges of things, on the outside, on the margins. She can access her home from the inside of the city, but she's able to let these men down by a rope to the outside. All of her power is tangled up in her proximity to power. This is where the king's men, the soldiers, hang out. How convenient for them that the prostitute's home is right there. And how convenient for Rahab that she hears everything as people are coming and going. She sees everything. She knows everything. And at this point, we're not exactly sure why she helps the spies. And maybe she doesn't know why she's helping them either. Sometimes we act really fast, and then we think about the consequences later. This is another one of those stories where God is folding in outsiders and people on the margins as main characters with speaking lines, as essential bodies and voices who challenge and change the course of things. Draw Rahab's home in your mind, and don't forget about the roof. When night came and it was dark, Rahab went up to the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land. Dread has fallen on all of us. Everybody who lives here melts in fear of you because we have heard the stories. You believe in the God who dried up the water of the Red Sea and led you out of Egypt. And since then, your people have destroyed two kings of the Amorites. When we heard all of these tales, our hearts trembled and melted. We have no courage here. I know that your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, let's get down to business, because I have dealt kindly with you and helped you tonight. Swear to me by the name of this God that you in turn will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you will spare my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life is yours. If you do not tell anyone about our business, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when God gives us the land." When God gives us the land. Put yourself on Rahab's roof and remember a scrappy or desperate deal you have needed to make in your own life, for better or for worse. When the story was about to be written one way, and then all of a sudden there were different versions and different authors. Remember what it feels like to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. When there is no one clean, right choice or sure way to hedge your bets. When you've needed to work with what you've got and then just hope and pray that it will be enough. How does it feel? Does it feel exciting or vulnerable or risky? Is your heart melting too? Once they strike the steel, she leads them down by a rope through the open window. For, as we know now, her house was on the outer side of the city wall, and she lived within the wall itself. She said to them, "Go out to the hill country so the king's men won't find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days. Until the king's men come back empty-handed, and then go on your way." The men clarified, "Now don't forget to tie the crimson cord in your window. If you forget to do this or you don't gather your family into your home in time, we cannot be responsible for the destruction caused to your home and your loved ones." She said, "According to your words, so be it." Which I think could also translate, "Of course I'm not going to forget." She sent them away and departed, and she tied that crimson cord in the window. She's not an Israelite, but it sounds like the Passover, doesn't it? Leave a red mark outside of your home so we will all know that you are meant for salvation. You are meant to be spared. You who are vulnerable and have no other way out will be met and blessed and saved by a God who makes a way where there is no way. The fact that they strike this deal together and then have to clarify this deal a second time is a good reminder that they are all on the hook for this Passover encore. They all have skin in the game and depend on promises being kept. That's where trust can be born. In that sign. And sometimes all we have is a sign. I think about all of the people who have served in Afghanistan the last 20 years. Some are old enough to have served and also to have had a child who has served. Isn't that amazing? And how many have been struggling with their mental health, not only for the last few weeks, but especially thinking about their interpreters, their cooks, their drivers, the people they met and their time there, the promises they tried to make, the trust they tried to build, and how out of control they must feel now. How scary it must be to be on the other side of the world, not so proximate to power anymore, at least in the way they used to be when they were making promises and building trust. Rahab could have disappeared, and other voices could have told this story, but she lives. This isn't the end. A few chapters later, after the city is overtaken and Jericho belongs to the Israelites, we hear that Rahab and her whole family are spared, and they are folded into the story of the Israelites. She marries Salmon, and they have a baby named Boaz, and life goes on with her not on the edges, not only proximate to power, but in the center of things. With a new identity. Her name gets dropped 3 times in the New Testament. Maybe that's why we know who she is, but we forget her story sometimes. It's a comfort to me every Advent, even though we don't read it necessarily in worship, to see that lineage of Jesus and to remember he comes from real hot mess people, just like us. His family systems are not clean and tidy and perfectly organized. He comes from Tamar, who, when her father-in-law lied to her, when she realized she was not going to have a chance at the heir that he promised her, she tricked him into sleeping with her and got pregnant with twins, and the show went on. And we have Ruth, who was not an Israelite, but who was faithful to her mother-in-law, who saw family differently, perhaps with more largeness and mercy than others could have imagined, whose loyalty brought her along Naomi's side and back to her late husband's people, where she built a new life and became part of the story. There's Bathsheba, who we don't get to hear from directly, so we don't know if this is King David's adultery or sexual assault. But we do know he used his power to murder her husband so he could have her and make babies with her. And then there's Mary, a teenager with a song. A young girl who says, I don't know how, but bring it on. Rahab is tangled up in this family tree, and so is Jesus. That means that God has skin in the game with people we don't expect to be in the center of the story. People who live in the walls right on the edge of the city. People who are resigned to transactions, who have to hope for the best when they strike scrappy deals. God is using them to build relationships. So I leave you with Rahab and 2 questions this morning. Where is Rahab's house today? Where is her house? And who sees and hears and knows? Whose story is being called to the center of things? And are we bold enough to listen? Amen. Strange and exciting time to become a member of this congregation. Today we celebrate and welcome new households into this community of faith at Bethlehem and into the work we all share. We've asked them to promise that they'll show up in a season when showing up looks really different, when worship, study, prayer, service to others are all being changed. We've asked them to choose curiosity over certainty, to share their own sense of call and their unique gifts with and through this congregation.
They said yes. That's amazing. We are so glad to celebrate their membership today. During the hymn of the day, we'll share photos of these households. Feel free to share a welcome, a bravo in the chat. And then be sure to join us for coffee conversations where you can add your personal hello. New members, we give thanks for your stories and talents that you bring to this community. Your faith in God and your commitment to Bethlehem bless the ways we are all becoming together. We promise to accompany you through life's joys and challenges. We promise to confess and listen, proclaim and feast, invite and send forth with vulnerability and courage. We promise to take risks for the gospel of Jesus and follow the Spirit into the unknowable future. We desire for this community to be a safe place that honors who you are and what you need to serve with love and grow in grace.
We also acknowledge that we will fail you, this congregation, all of us. We'll both embrace and resist change. Sometimes we will disagree and we will make mistakes. We express our faith and build community in a variety of different ways. So that we ask, in the midst of uncertainty and disappointment, you aim to stick around and help us claim the healing that is ours in God's grace. Because if you go before the listening and the mending, you will miss the holy thing about being the church, the dying and the rising, the forgiving and the living, that makes this amazing community humble and sacred.
God of welcome, you are patient and creative in loving your church. Thank you for inviting our participation in your healing work in the world. Be present in this community across time and space, building connections and faith that reflect your abundance and mercy in the church and the world you love. Amen. Let us welcome these new members all together. We welcome you as members of this congregation, inspired and invested in the ministry we share. You are beloved, and your presence here is a gift. May God bless these new relationships and our common call as agents of God's belonging and purpose the world needs. I hope you'll join us during coffee conversations after the service this morning for a chance to meet and welcome these new members to the community. Please rise as you're able. God has made us one people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Together with the whole church on earth, we pray for the world and all in need. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for these new members, for the way you have designed your church to be a living organism that is always dying and rising and multiplying and learning, failing and flying. We are never finished becoming together, and so we thank you for these new members, including Tom and Peg, Loretta and Regina, who will live out these promises, this faith in community here at the Minnetonka campus. We thank you for centering their voices and their presence among us. Lord, in your mercy. God, we pray for everyone who is experiencing really big feelings, trauma and violence, sideways grief or helplessness. I think that's all of us. All of your people have big feelings that are coming out sideways. All of your people are wondering how to break through the noise and the discord for conversations and collective action that can make a difference, that can be healthy and offer wholeness. We need your spirit in the midst of our weariness and all of the feelings that are passing through us these days. Remind us who we are and whose we are, that we are already and always enough because you call us beloved at the beginning and the end. May that be the gift and the energy we offer into the world today and tomorrow. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the people of Afghanistan, for everyone who has been deployed to active duty service there. We pray for the nations, for communities that are struggling with COVID breakthrough cases, for the refugee crisis, for displaced people, for homes and communities affected by wildfires, droughts, hurricanes, and flooding. God, we ask for your presence in and through this creation. Help us to tend the places that you have made with good care, to hold lightly what you invite us to help with, and to do so for the sake of all of your people. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are ill, in pain, sick or dying, those who recover from surgery, including Dave Mueller, Helen DeYoung, and Jewel Peterson. We pray for Maggie Dean, who is at peace on hospice at home with her daughter. And we pray for Kirsten Peterson, who will be admitted today. Bless her heart and tend to the hands of those who will relieve the pressure on her valves, and be present with the little one she carries in her body. It is so hard to live and love in these fragile bodies, to be mortal and also covered by your sacred hope and grace. Tend to us with good care, and give us compassion and patience for one another. We pray for your healing, for your balm to cover all who live in need. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks for signs of new life around us, for teachers and students preparing classrooms online and in person, for families that are adjusting to new schedules, for kids who are able to socialize in different ways than they did this summer, for educators and bus drivers and facility workers who are making sure that these spaces are clean and healthy and safe for the smallest among us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. We trust you through Jesus, who is liberation and love made flesh. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take time to share a sign of God's peace with each other. You may be seated. God provides in every age, in every generation, and in our own day we give back a portion of what God has given us so that we might work with God through the ministry of this church. And so we gather together our gifts and offer them to God with gratitude and praise. Please rise. Let us pray. Holy God, whose heart abounds with gifts, receive this offering as a sign of our intention to live surrounded by your mercy, inspired by your Spirit, open to the joy of your presence, hospitable to one another, and generous towards your world. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. It's been said already, but there's a coffee conversation at 11 o'clock on Zoom. So if you're home in time and you want to join, that'd be great. Otherwise, I'll have it on my iPad here. We'll see if the Wi-Fi stretches to the courtyard so we can say hello. This Wednesday is my last week of office hours on the lawn from 1 to 3. You're always welcome to stop by and say hi and spend some time there outside with other members. But we'll keep finding ways to be together safely outside this fall as well, when September starts. And lastly, Sue is going to order more name tags like this one tomorrow. And so if you can't find yours, if you want another one, if you're starting a collection, talk to Sue. It's a name tag jubilee. Like, we don't ask questions about what happened to your name tag in the last 18 months. All the grace, okay? And I've learned from experience, once you order another one, you'll find the one you lost. So that usually works for me. So Sue is still here for a little bit. If you want to order one, you can just check in with her. Now receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.